Hi, everyone. This is Linda, and I'm so glad you're joining us for our second day of our language article, More Than Words. And today I have with me in the studio to continue our discussion.
Hi, I'm Hazel.
And Jack here.
And we are glad that you guys are here to join with us as we talk about this very kind of interesting article. Grammar can be very not interesting. Don't ever write that sentence that is not grammatically correct. But we had kind of an interesting discussion yesterday. What kind of stood out to you, Hazel?
What stands out is that this is a problem that a lot of people have, not only uneducated people, but people that are well-educated and even up in management positions, that they sometimes use bad grammar.
Okay, that they did talk about that yesterday. What stood out to you about yesterday's article?
Yeah, you know, it's easy for little grammar mistakes to just slip by when if you just take a second to check them, like we saw a couple examples of people letting some things go in grammar, and I always think, oh, if they had just looked at it for another minute, you know, they could have caught that. But, you know, so the importance of going back and checking your grammar.
Okay. So can either one of you answer my question that I asked in the introduction? Is it your or your?
Oh, that. What was the sentence?
We're glad
you
that
used?
Your.
So what you're saying is we are glad, mm-hmm. right? So you need an apostrophe, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
Because we are glad that you are.
Yes, you are here with us mm-hmm.
today. Yes.
But if you were talking about your students, it would be Y-O-U-R.
Right, with no apostrophe E, because it would be a possessive, your
yeah.
students. We had an example of that yesterday, too, right, Chuck?
Yes, exactly. I think in this case it was talking about its and how its is used possessively. And it's a little bit tricky because usually possessive has an apostrophe, but with its, it doesn't. So you only have to remember, take the its apart, right? So make it is. And if it works in the sentence, then you know that it needs an apostrophe. If it doesn't work, then you take out the apostrophe.
It's nice that you can join us today. Does that word it's have an apostrophe?
Take it apart. So it is nice that you're joining us today. It
yes.
does need an apostrophe.
It needs an apostrophe.
So the apostrophe means it's a contraction. Two words are put together and made as one meaning.
Right. So we see a lot. This is a very big problem area. I think a lot of people make this mistake. You know, there are a few rules that are really worth learning. This is one of them.
Oh, you said there are, and that's one that I notice a lot. They are can be T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E.
Mm-hmm.
There are. But sometimes people just write T-H-E-R-E. So those words are also confusing.
Right. So I think that this is where spelling and grammar comes in English, as if there's not enough to worry about it.
And may I say, sometimes you should worry about it. If
mm-hmm.
it's a resume or something important, you need to worry about it. If you're just chatting at night with friends, maybe it doesn't make a big difference, because sometimes you're in a hurry or it doesn't
matter. And it's about
matter.
Communication.
Yeah, you're just communicating. But if it's something written that other people will look at, then you need to be more careful.
Well, let's see what our author has to say today about this subject. We are on page 35 of your magazine, or if you can find it on your digital device, you can follow along. And we're going to begin our reading in the left-hand column at the top of the page.
Here's what really bugs me. A rule that seems to have come into effect recently. If in doubt, add an apostrophe. So what's happened is that people all over America have lost the understanding of the difference between plural and possessive. Possessive gets an apostrophe. Plural does not.
So we've just been kind of talking about this, and this really bugs the author. And if something bugs you, what does it do?
It means it Well, I always imagine when I hear the word bugs, like there's a bug on me and, oh, it's irritating me. It's disturbing me, right?
Bothers okay. you.
It yeah, bothers
really
you.
Bothers you, right. Yeah. So this is a very slang saying, okay? You can use it in conversation like with your friends. I wouldn't use it in a formal conversation setting or in a job interview or something like that. Because it might bug the person interviewing you.
Sometimes we talk about computer bugs, too, or a
right.
bug in a system that makes it not work correctly. So you can use that word in different ways.
That's a good point.
So what bugs her is a rule that seems to have come into effect recently. And if in doubt, add an apostrophe. That really is a rule that has come into effect recently? I mean, I know I studied grammar long ago, and that was not a rule.
I think she's being sarcastic. She's not saying that this is actually a rule of grammar, but she's saying that everybody is doing it so much that it's almost become a rule.
That seems to have come into effect, okay? That seems to is the key here.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is, if in doubt, add an apostrophe. It does kind of seem like that's what's happened, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I've certainly seen this plenty. When somebody is making a word into a plural, they just add an apostrophe for some reason.
Maybe it looks better. Maybe. So what's happened, she says, is that people all over the United States have lost the understanding of the difference between plural and possessive. So remember that possessive gets an apostrophe and plural does not. Got that, Hazel?
I think so. I don't remember seeing this too often, so... But I haven't lived in America for a while, so maybe that's one reason why. But I think Jack's right. It's not a rule that you'll find in your grammar books for sure, but everybody's making that mistake, so it seems like it's okay. Just when in doubt, put that apostrophe in just in case you need it.
Yeah, I like that just in case you need it. It might come in handy.
It might.
You never know when you need an apostrophe.
So keep it around.
Yeah.
So you need to actually, this is one of those things that you really do need to know, especially if you're writing a resume or a formal letter or a cover letter to go with your resume, you know, learn the rule and find out really what the word means and if you really need that apostrophe or not.
You know, there's no excuse now because even for this article, I looked up a few things. There was something I wasn't sure of. All you need to do is type it into
your browser.
Google, and it'll give you examples and tell you which one is correct, and sometimes even how to remember which one is correct.
Yeah. So make Google your friend? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay, well, let's continue reading. We're going to read this little left-hand column. We're going to continue on this side.
Selling yourself. Your resume and your cover letter are not just a synopsis of your background. They are not just an introduction of you when you hope to be considered for an interview. First and foremost, it is a brochure, and it is selling a product, and the product is you. If you wouldn't go to an interview in blue jeans, don't send your cover letter and resume with mistakes to a prospective employer.
So if we look at this, we're talking about business and we're talking about selling yourself now, okay? And what you have to sell yourself is your resume and your cover letter. And I think that when we realize that more and more, you know, people for jobs now, because they are not so, there's not so many of them, especially really good jobs, they get hundreds and hundreds of applicants and they get hundreds and hundreds of resumes that they want to read or need to read. So you need to make your letter attractive. And I said this yesterday, you know, it needs to be formatted correctly and you don't want it to be 10 pages long. Okay. Most people, if it's more than a page and a half, I'll give a half page. Usually I say one, but if it's more than a page and a half, people don't want to read it. Am I right?
You're totally right.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we here. Said people aren't readers like they used to be, and I guess management doesn't want to read a whole lot.
I've gone to interviews before where you have your interview in front of the, or your resume in front of them, and they never look at it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're giving them a stack of 10 pages, there's no way they're going to look at that. Yeah.
Right, and you won't even get called in for an interview, so you need to be very careful and be succinct when you are writing it. It does say here that your resume and your cover letter are not just a synopsis of your background. So a synopsis is what here, Jack?
Yeah, a synopsis is like a short description. So if you give the synopsis of a book or of a movie, then you're just condensing, you're making a small description of what is inside of the book or the movie.
And sometimes we use the word summary, things up in a short way.
Right. So this is kind of tricky because you have to do this, but you also have to make it appealing to the person reading it, and you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to sell yourself in a few words, very accurate words with accurate punctuation, okay, because that's important, and also the appearance of it is important, okay? The content is important. You really want them to think that they want to see you. You know, the whole point is to see them in person. I know in the States now, oftentimes if you send a resume in, you don't even get to see somebody. You know, if you send it in, you may never hear from them. If you take it to an office, they just tell you, just send it. So, you know, it's very tricky about how to even get people to look at your resume. So if it's sloppy or people like look at it and they see several grammar mistakes right away, you can forget ever getting a job interview with them. And it says, the second part of this says what? Would you go to an interview in blue jeans?
Oh, only if it was maybe a construction job or something like that.
Okay.
But almost never.
How about you, Hazel?
No, I probably would not.
Okay. I know it's kind of a trend now. I mean, jeans are very, everybody wears them, but in some instances, it's probably not the best choice. You don't have to be dressed in a full suit. It depends upon what the job is, actually, as you said. And so it says if you wouldn't go to an interview in blue jeans, okay, we agreed we wouldn't, then don't send your cover letter and resume with mistakes to a prospective employer. Because what do you think is going to happen?
Well, yeah, I think they will take a look at it. And if you don't correct grammar mistakes, it just can put doubt in someone's mind about how you're going to do on other jobs. And honestly, if they see another applicant who has a clean resume, no mistakes on it, who are they going to choose? They might lean towards the person who has no mistakes.
Right, but times are changing. I don't know what young people do when they go to interview in the States for a computer company that's just maybe a few people that have the company. So there are exceptions to these rules. But even if you would wear blue jeans, you still should have your resume corrected. Maybe have a friend look it over and make sure the punctuation is okay.
Absolutely. I would highly recommend that because, you know, if you are working on your resume, I know when I've done it, you have to often go through and write details over and over again. So you're looking at it over and over again. And sometimes when you look at something so many times, you miss things. So it's always really helpful to have someone who is looking at it with a fresh pair of eyes and can catch some of those mistakes.
Right. It actually describes it as a brochure. And we know that when a company makes a brochure, they're very careful about how it looks, making sure that all the grammar is correct. So if you think of it that way, this represents me. I want it to look really nice.
I think that's a key. It represents you because they're not meeting you. They don't get the opportunity to meet you yet. So this has to sell you. So, you know, I think it's very, very important. It's probably more important than we think.
Yeah. Let's say if I went to the interview and maybe I didn't pay attention and I just forgot to put on one of my shoes or something like that. Or maybe I didn't put my arm through the arm of my shirt on one side. You know, that would certainly make a really interesting impression if I made a small error. Not really a small error.
Even if you forgot to tie one of your shoes.
Yeah.
It is interesting, the seemingly little things people pay attention to, you know, so we need to try to think through all of those. But this is not a little thing. I have to say that a resume and a cover letter is not a little thing. It's a representation of you to somebody. So you want to put your best foot forward or do your best. Okay, let's continue reading here. We are in the right-hand column now on page 35, and we're going to read to the end of the article.
Don't rely on Microsoft Word's ABC/grammar checker. It isn't able to discern if a word is spelled correctly but used out of context. The grammar checker won't help you unless you have a fundamental understanding of grammar to begin with. In fact, if you defer to the grammar checker's advice, you'll probably increase your number of mistakes. An excellent reference book to keep on hand is The Elements of Grammar by Margaret Scherzer. In the Words Often Confused section, it clarifies the differences between pairs of words such as well/good and less/fewer. Don't tell yourself it doesn't matter. Above all, don't tell yourself that everyone speaks poorly these days, and the hiring authority won't know or care. The ability to communicate, written and spoken, is of paramount importance, certainly in business. And it only becomes more valuable as fewer people are able to demonstrate it.
So do you guys rely on Microsoft's ABC Grammar Check?
I don't know what it's called, but I do pay attention to the grammar checker when I'm writing something on the computer. It's very helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just don't have to look up a word. I can just try it 5 different ways, and then when the red marking goes away, I know I have it.
I know. I've done that before, too. Okay, does that have that H, M?
Right.
Which one is that?
So just do pay attention to that, but maybe don't rely 100% on it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a very useful tool. It can point out things that I, maybe I was writing fast and I wasn't paying attention. But don't just accept everything that it suggests. Don't just like go through and accept everything. Actually take a look at what it is suggesting for you to do.
Yes. So we see here that we talked a little bit about this before. It isn't able to discern or tell the difference between if a word is spelled correctly but used out of context. And if something is out of context, what is it, Hazel?
You can't really tell the meaning mm-hmm. without the rest of the sentences or the rest of the paragraph. Maybe you can, but it's also easy to misunderstand what something is because you're only taking a few words.
Right.
So the computer doesn't realize the context of your writing.
Right.
So it may think something's okay and it's not, or vice versa.
Right, because it's spelled correctly, but grammatically it's totally not correct. Maybe you put an extra word. If you put an extra word in, Grammar Check will catch it. But if you want to say or and you say for, it won't catch it at all. That's what this is kind of referring to, okay? And it also says here, the Grammar Checker won't help you unless you have a fundamental understanding of grammar to begin with. Do you agree with that?
I think that's sometimes true. I mean, again, it can still help you, but you can't rely on it. You can't depend on it 100%.
And that's exactly what the next sentence says.
In fact, if you defer to Grammar Checker advice, you'll probably increase your number of mistakes. So if you just let that take care of it, if you defer, if you give that responsibility mm-hmm. to the Grammar Checker, you could be in big trouble.
Yeah, if you think the Grammar Checker knows more than you do, be careful.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you might feel happy and comfortable because, oh, my document has no little red squiggly lines. It looks like, oh, it's all good to go. But really, you're actually sending something out with a lot of mistakes in it.
Yeah, so be careful. Don't be reliant on something that you're, you know, especially for something as important as a resume or a cover letter. And I think that this is true. I know many of us don't do this, but The Elements of Grammar by Margaret Scherzer is who this person is recommending. There are a lot of them. The Elements of Style by Strunk and White has been like the top reference. Short, very, very short book, but lots and lots of people, writers, recommend that book as well. So keep one handy. Okay, on hand means... Well, it doesn't mean in your hand. If you keep something on hand, what are you doing, Jack?
Well, I think the idea is that it's always there for your hand to be able to grab it.
Okay. So it's by your side, not all the time, but, you know, in the area. Mm-hmm. And she has a Words Often Confused section, and it tells the difference between the differences between pairs of words like well and good and less and fewer. Mm-hmm. And we had a little discussion about these, especially, well, okay, do you always get well and good right?
I'm getting better. I'm doing well, thank you.
How good are you doing?
Those
should be how
be
well
confusing.
Are you doing?
Yeah. Those can be confusing, and you hear those mistakes a lot because
yes.
I think sometimes conversation with friends is not quite so formal. So you hear those mistakes a lot, and I sometimes get confused, but I am getting better at that.
And I think the big one is less and fewer.
Yeah.
How many of us really know the difference between how to use those two words?
I had to Google it just today so that I would be sure.
Okay. Are you more sure than Hazel?
Actually, this one I learned pretty solidly when I was young because my mom made sure I learned it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're on, Jack.
Okay.
What's less?
Okay, so less is something...
Is less more?
Sometimes it is. In this case, less is referring to, it's measuring something that you can't count. So any kind of, like, if it's a liquid or something that you would measure, then you have less or more of it. Now, if it's something that you can count, then you're going to have fewer of it. So there were fewer of the something like apples.
Because you can count them once.
That's right, yeah.
You agree, Hazel?
Yeah, that's Google agrees also. So, and she
what does Google say?
Well, Google said, according to the usage rules, fewer is only to be used when discussing countable things, while less is used for singular mass nouns. For example, you can have fewer ingredients, fewer dollars, fewer people, or fewer puppies. But you have less salt, less money, less honesty, or less love.
Okay.
So countable and uncountable, it depends on that.
I think the big one that I hear, the one I hear most common is there were less people. That I hear that a lot. There were less people than I expected.
But could you say the crowd was less?
Less than what?
Than before. Could you use less with crowd? Because crowd is, never mind.
I don't think
okay.
We would say that.
Well, you can't say less people. There were fewer people.
There should be
fewer people than what?
There are fewer people here than last week.
Okay, got it.
Now that we've confused ourselves and everybody else, no. So it's fewer people and less of something that you can't count.
Okay, that's a good reminder. Thank you.
And don't say that it doesn't matter. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah, sure. And sometimes it doesn't matter, but often it does. So this is a good reminder. If you find yourself saying, it's okay, it doesn't matter, you need to watch yourself.
Well, especially because in the context of the article, you know, in the next sentence it says, don't tell yourself that everyone speaks poorly these days, even if you think that, and the hiring authority won't know or care. Because just when you think that, they do know and they do care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we say that to ourselves, especially about something this important, it also shows our attitude. You know, so if you get a job, then how are you going to handle the job to the best of your ability? Or people don't care anyway, so why should I?
And you know what? It's all about communication in the end, right? Written or spoken. And when you think about if you want to reach people, if you want to really communicate with them, if you have everything and the grammar is correct, nobody is going to notice anything, right? But if you have little things that are odd in the grammar, then some people might notice and your communication is just not going to be as effective then.
Right. And you did say what this next section says. It says, the ability to communicate, written and spoken both, is of paramount importance, certainly in business. Because really that's what this is all about. Language is about communication. And if something is of paramount importance, what is it, Hazel?
Very, very important. One of the most important things.
Okay. And oftentimes we might say of utmost importance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Utmost is UTMOST. It means the same thing as paramount importance. And I like this last sentence. What does this last sentence say, Jack?
Says that it only becomes more valuable as fewer people are able to demonstrate it.
Oh, that doesn't sound good, does it?
Well, at least it used fewer people, not less.
Yes, I think she's very conscious of that. You know, I think that there's a lot of room for correction on all of our sides. And it's not that hard to do if we just put a little effort into it. I like this example they gave here that she said, here's a sign I saw in the store. We don't accept credit cards. So it should be accept credit cards. You know, this is just a simple spelling mistake, but it is good to know the differences because they make a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I was just going to say another thing is it says, also, don't rely on your resume. So you can have a correct resume, but if you do get the interview, of course, you're going to have some speaking and communication skills mm-hmm. to go along with that. And don't wear jeans.
Yes. Well, the resume is only to open the door.
That's right.
So, okay. Well, we hope that you maybe will review this article. It has a lot of good information in it. And remember that it does matter to a lot of people. Well, we hope that you will join us again here on Advanced Radio for our next article. We will see you then. Bye for now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.